that is to sort of like go get copies, right? Without
right.
Like, you know, so she said that she wrote the resolution. I think it's going to be proposed tomorrow night. Tom, you can correct me if I'm wrong. But I put all of those expenses under that.
So that's the only thing is the Black Tiffany Garriga's project and then the administrative stuff.
Correct.
Okay. And from what I understand, even though I wasn't attending the full meeting for the Black entrepreneurs, is that that's not the full approved amount, the 15K. It's supposed to be minus 7,000 from what I understand. Correct?
So maybe Tom can speak to this. I actually have not heard an update from Jeff Baker, Tiffany, or Elise on this.
Yeah, I haven't heard either. I don't understand how it could possibly... I mean, I don't see how they... I agree with Cece that it's probably going to have to be taken out unless they find somebody else to administer it. It cannot go to a council member. Absolutely not. By law.
Yeah, and that was conveyed to Tiffany clearly that she could not be in contract with the Tarzan woman.
Oh, I'm sorry, Calvin, but I know that Elise, who was involved with it, was going to talk to Jeff about it, and we haven't heard back from her, so I don't know. So we'll mm-hmm. find out.
Okay.
To be continued. But like, it's not likely, I'm not even going to speculate. We should leave it to the lawyers and Tiffany and the council to figure out what the next steps are.
Yes.
Can I ask a question?
Of course.
This is just me not remembering, but, did we vote to approve the Sankofa Day funding and Operation Unite?
No.
No.
We did. Okay. Thank you. That's what I wanted to know.
We were waiting for this report.
Yes.
Great. Thank you.
But if I could just chime in for a second to answer, I think what Cece's bigger question was is that the 50K is dedicated to Project Hudson 2.0. That's not in consideration. That money is baked into the budget.
That's right.
Yeah, that was your decision. That did not need or go through the council in any way.
Right.
It's 100% earmarked by the tourism board.
Correct.
We spent. I took administrative fees out of that, maybe prematurely. Heather came in and said, Kate, I actually think there should be separate budget set aside. You guys have done like so much stuff. There should be. And she wrote a resolution that will go to the floor of the Common Council tomorrow night, passed hopefully, to cover those expenses. And so at that point, we would be able to take that out of the $50,000 and put it into like separate administrative expenses.
Great.
Any other questions? I'm gonna stop sharing.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you for doing it, Ivy.
Thank you, Ivy.
Thank
you, Ivy.
Everyone's support, and especially you, Kate. Thank you.
Good job.
All right, so Kate, we did we skipped over until your arrival, and so do you think it's best to continue moving forward, or would you like to chime in now?
No, I think we should move on.
Okay, all right. So next, we have Tamar with us, who wanted to make a pitch to the tourism board about the best way to handle receiving special RFPs that are unique to Hudson's identity.
Thank you. So we've been talking for, you know, as we've gotten requests from the sort of institutionally supported and institutionally loved events, we've talked as a board again and again about how we have to, you know, put out some sort of announcement about available funding for Halloween parade, Flag Day, Bangladeshi festival, Winter Walk, tons of things I'm forgetting, I'm sure. And also we've been holding off on considering any other, any projects outside of Warren Street seasonal usage and Project Hudson 2.0. And we've been talking about doing that. So I wrote up and circulated a draft to all of you of versions of that announcement. But then while I was working on it yesterday, I remembered that in 2019, the Tourism Board granted a chunk of money for this exact purpose to the Common Council, which at that point had a finance committee, and I guess doesn't have that exact structure now. But I was thinking that maybe we could do that again, because it would decentralize decision-making, which would maybe be useful in this moment. We've been making so many decisions on behalf of the city, and I support them. But I just thought that could be, you know, a good democratic gesture. And we have so many things that we're trying to work on right now. And so I thought I would just wanted to suggest that we take that page out of prior tourism board's book, and give a chunk of money to the Common Council. And I wrote up, I based it on Rob Bouillon's announcement for special events from the Finance Committee in 2019, and just made it, you know, a few changes, including the fact that there's a global pandemic, and was wondering what you guys thought about doing that. And it wouldn't only pertain necessarily to previously held events, but anything else that has come under consideration, which just, you know, might spread out the work and the decisions a little. So that was my thought.
I have a question.
To add with your investors?
Yes, Kate. If you're not speaking, could you please mute your screen?
So Tammy, I feel like you and I had an exchange about it, and you were able to sort of explain the way that it worked in the past. Maybe you could explain to the current tourism board how it worked, so we have some sort of like institutional knowledge about what's been done before. Would you mind doing that? You're muted.
You have to unmute yourself.
Tammy, you're muted. Tammy.
Sorry. I don't know exactly how far back this goes in the city's history that it's been for Hudson Hall. At least I can track it, for a number of years, going back a decade or more. The city had set aside $20,000 that the then Arts, Entertainment, and Tourism Committee would issue a call for proposals. The format varied, and different organizations or events, such as, you know, Black Arts Cultural Festival, the Bangladeshi Festival, Flag Day, Hudson Pride, Winter Walk, Hudson Halloween, were some of the more recurring events that applied. The committee reviewed the applications and then made decisions on how to disperse the $20,000. When the tourism board was the first year it was formed, one of the tourism board members was concerned about it being a conflict of interest for the tourism board to be in a grant making entity. So to resolve that, the tourism board, which I also sat on, passed a resolution to earmark $20,000 for the city of Hudson to disperse through a call for proposals that the finance committee then reviewed and dispersed. And with the current tourism board, it's gone back to the grant making process. Last year there was an RFP. And this year I think there have been a number of entities waiting for another RFP, and ourselves, Hudson Hall included, for Winter Walk.
Thank you. So it sounds like, I don't know, I mean, I'm down to do it either way. I feel like if it's most appropriate for the Tourism Board to issue an RFP, a formal RFP, that, you know, Hudson Hall and whoever else wants to submit through, or if we want to say, you know, traditionally $20,000 has been earmarked for these festivals and allow the Common Council to make the decisions how to allocate that funding, you know, I'm fine to do it either way. I don't know, Tom, could it be done either way?
Sure. I mean, if you guys feel overburdened, fine. We can put together an ad hoc committee and do it. But, you know, you have a lot of experience now going through these projects. And
yeah, I mean, I guess what would be your recommendation?
I'd love to see you guys do it. But, you know, I understand if you don't want to do it.
But would it leave out the middleman? Because I feel like the whole time that we've been chopping up these things and giving people as much support as they need to get to Common Council, in the end, the Common Council is like, it just doesn't meet what we're looking for. It doesn't. So I feel like if you guys, you folks are involved initially in every stage of it, it's less back and forth and more of a direct response to the artists and to the curators and to the presenters versus our purview, which sometimes is just not what we thought it would be.
Right. It'll still be.
See, that was half of my thinking was like, now we're coming up, you know, it's May and we're having these meetings every week, and so many people already have projects underway. And if things went directly to the council, maybe it would be easier. And plus they could bring all their institutional knowledge of,
well, there isn't that much of that. But yeah, I mean, we'll still have to go through a committee. So it's, you know, but it would be a council membership committee. I mean, it'd be members of the council.
Tom, I just would like to understand the timeline for that. So you would have to form a committee.
Which I could do tomorrow night, yeah.
And then, like, the thing
and invite, that... invite event, the same way they did it in the past, just invite applications. No RFP.
Okay.
The RFP was, there was never... You guys issued an RFP last year. Traditionally, there was no RFP. There was just an announcement.
But does anybody have, can anybody share the one that I wrote on the screen?
Tammy, Tammy, I don't think there was RFPs in the distant past.
There was an application process.
An application process, that's different from RFP.
It was announced that the applications were available, so.
Correct, but that's not an RFP is what I'm saying. It's a different, it's just a categorical difference.
I mean, there was an actual formal process.
Yes, no, I acknowledge that, totally, yes.
Mm-hmm. If I could just chime in for a second, I think regardless of what we do, kind of at the higher level, it would be great for us. You know, we're coming out of the pandemic somewhat. If we start thinking long term, it'd be great for us to start thinking of like what kind of funds are needed, whether it sits in the tourism board or whether it's with the Common Council, but just having a block that's needed for all of these projects. And then also adding on a little bit more, hoping that somebody's going to come up with an idea that we're all enthusiastic about for a future event. So, again, it doesn't matter where it sits as long as we put aside or start thinking about putting some money to do that.
I mean, beyond this year?
I think this year, I think we have an idea of what it's going to be. But, yeah, I think we have to start thinking forward.
Yes, well, I mean, I agree that for the Tourism Board needs to, like, if we can create some institutional process around how these things are funded, that would be really excellent for the city. You know, it's not clear to this iteration of the Tourism Board, nor was it necessarily clear to the last one, how this should happen. And I think that's one of the things that this, and I don't mean to speak for you all, but this iteration of the tourism board has felt a lot of that sort of lack of institutional process, knowledge, understanding, completeness.
In the past, there was always a block of money, $20,000, put aside by the council in the budget process, and it was used for events. There was no tourism money per se. So it's an entire new category, and it would have to go through the BEA process, just like any other, you know, budget allotment. But if you guys want to come up with a proposed budget for, you know, the future and be part of the budgeting process in September, you're more than welcome to do it.
I'm curious. So if we wanted to make sure that we requested a line item in the budget for the tourism board, you know, maybe it doesn't make sense for us to give money to the Common Council for the events when in turn we're asking for money to come back.
Right.
To the tourism board, you know, right. I mean, it's something we definitely need to think about. I mean, there's 50 some odd $1,000 in the bank moving forward, you know, and how we spend that, obviously we're going to have to make some wise decisions, and it would be nice to have some savings for any other upcoming events that might come up.
Can I share my screen so I can show everybody what the thing that I wrote and people can see if this seems like the idea of what we're talking about?
Sure.
So you all have that, but essentially, you know, it's not quite an RFP. It's based exactly on what it was before, but it's mm-hmm. like, this is what was announced before. Are you doing an event? Do you want financial assistance? You need to have had a mass gathering application submitted. You've got to live in the city, no entrance fees. So, you know, you got to submit a report, following questions. I added a question about COVID-19 precautions. Just thinking that hopefully we could determine whether this is something we wanted to keep in-house or whether we felt overwhelmed and wanted to ask the council to do it. And then we could at least, in the interest of attending to some of the people who have been, you know, like I'm thinking of Second Saturdays and of, and I guess, you know, Sankofa people who have been looking for this kind mm-hmm. of announcement. I mean, and everybody, we could move in that direction wherever it lives. I don't feel strongly about it. It was just an idea, but I just wanted you guys to get a sense of whether that's basically what people have in mind.
I mean, I would just say that initially it sounded like it was something that I'm used to seeing that from living here for so long. I'm used to seeing all the announcement come out of who have been funded, and it was always in the Register Star and stuff. But then I think about the efficacy of this board if we give away, jobs or the purview of submissions and things that would take place in the city that would bring tourists. I also realize mm-hmm. that some of the newer projects that are coming up may not repeat for whatever reason. Because it is a pandemic, so maybe these newer projects that are coming should definitely be within the wheelhouse of the tourism board. I just wonder about the efficacy of the tourism board if we give back some of that, you know, power, so to speak, back to Common Council from saying we can't handle it at all. Because then, I mean, what are we for? I'm just playing both sides, because now that I'm hearing it all play out, it just kind of, yeah. In other places we've gone, any event that's happening, Miami, Rehoboth, it's always been contact the tourism board. So it just kind of seems weird to kind of throw it at the CC and say, let you guys deal with it. Even though I do understand what I said earlier about the process being a little daunting for people to meet with us and then go and meet with them. But that's just the way it's been built. I don't know. Sorry.
Well, one thing on that is that we do, I would just note that we have two council members who are at almost every meeting, you know, our chair and also Jane, and they have been great advocates. So, you know, maybe we could invite more Common Council members in. That's one thought. But more importantly, I think that what we're talking about is a shift not only towards long-term planning, but like moving away from first come, first serve towards allotting out and having a budget so that an event that happens later in the year or happens during a time when budgeting is weird, that they're still able to have full consideration. It's very similar to like in a company, you do this, you have budgeting processes and you plan out for the entire year. So, you know, I just don't want to see the Halloween parade not get funded because of timing.
Yeah, that's my only concern. So back to Tom, you tell us if it's better for us to deal with it because it's more expeditious and it will, like, if the tourism board's like, okay, we're spending $20,000, we all know we're aligned to spend the $20,000. If it's more expeditious for the tourism board to do it, to get the people that need the funding for the money that we know is already going to be spent no matter what, I am willing to take on that responsibility.
Yeah, I think I think it's the best idea. Just announce that you have $20,000 to allocate to the traditional, you know, local events that we did in the past and see what comes in. You don't have to feel obligated. This is what I used to say at the council meetings when we had it through the council. You don't have to feel obligated to actually spend all $20,000. Because believe me, in the old days, they started with the figure and just kept divvying it up until they hit 20, which was kind of, you know, not really the smartest way to go about it, you know? And I know you guys wouldn't do it that way.
No, yeah. So I think back to you, Tamar. Over to you, Tamar, as they say. Let's go back to your original idea, which is issue an RFP. Tourism Board will maintain the responsibility. We're going to put a reasonable 3-week timeline, or, I mean, what... So, like, Flag Day, for example. Calvin,
I mean, that's why I wanted to pull this up on the screen. I'm totally agnostic and up for whatever everybody's up for in terms of who does it. I just want it to be, speaking of, like, you know, being efficient. I thought it would be efficient to kind of go, okay, we are going to do this. This is the amount. Decide a deadline and then figure out how to get it out. If we want to keep it.
To break the first come first serve, or even as Tom was saying, which is an ad hoc first come first serve, people come and ask for money and it's divvied up. We could look at a budgeting process that either allots a certain amount per quarter or per month. We can look at seasonality, meaning that, you know, July might require more than January, but somehow find a fair way so that somebody who's applying late in the process isn't sorry out of luck because we've spent the money.
Or all the applications need to be submitted at once.
Right.
You know, planning.
Well, if we're going to keep it, is there a subcommittee on the tourism board that wants to sort of take this on and take the draft that I made and come up with a like timing structure that makes sense? Is that of interest to people?
Didn't Kate say she would be willing to?
No. You said I would be up for doing it. That's exactly what you said.
That's
maybe right. You didn't mean personally.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
I think a subcommittee is a good way to go to move the ball forward. I'm on quite a few, but I will absolutely help. So if there's a subcommittee formed and there's room for me, I'll do it.
Yeah, I'm happy to help too.
You can add me as well.
There you go. Three is a committee.
Right, so we have a subcommittee. You guys have
you're
this
in two,
draft.
Right?
I'm not in it.
Do you not want to be in it? Because
nope. I would prefer not to.
You're okay. No worries. I know you wrote it, so.
No, you can have it. That's what this is now yours. Make all changes that you want. I think you guys all have it in your in buses. Yes,
we do. Relay race. Right.
Okay.
All right. So the committee will consist of Chris, Ivy, and myself.
Thank you, guys.
All right. So moving on to our next item of business, we have an update on the Pocket Park Forum.
So I'll keep it really brief, but not a huge update from last week. Still looking at having a couple of vendors in a pocket park with a cultural venue or a cultural act of sorts. I have spoken to Waterfront Wednesday. They have been a little bit busy, but they've graciously given us their vendor list, so we have an idea of some vendors in town already. I've had a conversation with one vendor who's interested, so I'm getting a feel for what they want. Also, we've had a gracious offer from Ellen Simpson's husband, Michael Simpson, who's a musician. So we're going to talk about them possibly being one of the acts. I guess I'm thinking of maybe January is kind of a short, a soft launch, if you will, maybe one park. I've had questions as to how many parks we activate. And I think if we start small and we start to grow it through the season as we learn.
January, Chris?
Did I say January? July. June. My mind is scrambled. Starting in June, have a soft launch, and then into July. And I actually don't envision this. I envision this as a seasonal project, you know, kind of in the future, if it continues, kind of a May through October thing.
My question is, how are folks supposed to find out about application for vending? I saw that Waterfront Wednesdays had a "We need vendors," and they had it on the website. How are people going to apply to the Pocket Park?
Yeah, I think that we probably have to make a similar announcement. And I'd love to talk to you about it, Cece, on how we can do that. I just wanted to get it a little bit further down the field before we cast the net out.
Sure.
So anyway, we're moving forward with that, and that's pretty much it in a nutshell. By next week, I should have more information.
Ask a question, Chris.
Please.
I never, the night that I, of the day that I talked to Ash at Operation Unite, when I tried to talk during the meeting, my audio didn't work.
Right.
So I never got to say that what he and I had talked about was us reaching out to the library about doing some of their kid programming, in particular crafts, outside. And because I didn't get to say that, I didn't do anything further on it. But I'm not on the Pocket Park subcommittee, but I thought that would be a really good outreach. So I'm happy to just hand that over to you and have you guys see if you, it's something you want to do. Because, you know, they do, Lewis has done, gone and done those events, like craft making in the kid area. And Ash was saying that that would be wonderful, and maybe something that Operation Unite could help like facilitate if the library people were doing it. And also Lewis is my almost 5-year-old, were really interested in if there was one pocket park that we were thinking was going to be more like kid related, like the one with the Froggy and the Lion. He and I were interested in going out early with chalk and making like hopscotch and like chalk obstacle courses and stuff like that. So I just wanted to kind of finish that circle that Ash and I had talked about that and make sure that if you wanted me to do something about it, I'm happy to do it. And if you just want that update, that's it.
Awesome. And Ash is on here. Ash, did you want to throw anything in?
Sure. So I think, by the way, I'm Ash, Fourth Ward. I'm the youth coordinator at Operation Unite. And I think Tamar wrapped it up pretty nicely, but basically our main goal for the summer is Waterfront Wednesdays. That's kind of our thing. But that we also want to branch out and do as many things as we can. Tamar reached out to us about this these chalk projects, and we think it's a great idea. Typically, we kind of deal with older kids, but we don't have a problem at all doing with younger kids. In fact, we love working with younger kids too. So right now we have a few seniors, and they're kind of like out the door, like kind of going to college. So we plan on bringing in some more youth to work for us. And once we get them settled in, we will have the numbers to help out and help and like make these chalk obstacle courses and hopscotch at these at the pocket parks.
Great. I'll connect with you after the meeting.
Great.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Chris. And next we have an update about the Warren Street seasonal usage program. And for that, we have Kate.
I'm just gonna, well, you know, the cement blocks are on the streets and okay. We have a waiting list of businesses who'd like to participate, which whether you like them or not, I hope that it helps the businesses in our community. And I think that's kind of all they're really there. Oh, I should introduce Gary Pernhagen, who is taking over from me. Officially, this is his first day. And if you have any questions or need any further information, he will be your chief contact person moving forward. And thank you so much for being a willing member of our community to take this huge responsibility on. I am personally grateful.
George Lucas, hi. Welcome.
Calvin?
Yes, Tom.
I just had one idea I wanted to share with Gary. Gary, I'm not sure if you know, but the concrete blocks can be painted. So perhaps you might consider circulating the idea of some kind of competition that who could do the nicest paint job.
Tom, I wanted to actually add to that idea.
Okay.
It's something that I intend to share with the council. But essentially, municipalities across New York State, they are decorating utility boxes throughout the city. And I kind of thought of that as a potential canvas for a lot of our local artists to create, you know, and tell the narrative of Hudson, or, you know, whatever is going on. A lot is going on in the world. That was another idea that I intend to present to the council. The notion of
Tom and Calvin, thank you. I've been thinking along those lines.
Good.
I see it written into whatever it is I saw. And I'm going to reach out to the business community and residents. And I think it's a great idea. But we obviously, you know, we don't want to just, you know, let the kids of the city, you know, go at it with spray paint, because this is part of the infrastructure of those businesses. Anyway, I would say that it's a pleasure to be working on this project, but I am looking forward to working with you all and seeing that it's a success.
And thank you, Gary, for your outreach to both Register Star and Gossips of Rivertown.
Well, that was all Kate's doing, and everything up to date is, you know, Kate's been terrific in terms of what she's done so far and how she's handing it off to me and yet being there. So, yeah.
Indeed. Well, thank you both. I also wanted to give huge thank you and kudos to DPW. Rob Perry and his crew have been essential to both you know, Warren Street seasonal usage and last year's rendition of Warren Street seasonal usage. Without them, a lot of our public parks and public spaces would not be readily available without their work, which often takes place during, you know, early hours of the morning, and I'm sure late into the evening at times. So definitely wanted to give a thank you to DPW and all of the crew members there. Let's see. So with regards to our agenda, that brings us to public comment. However, before we stepped into public comment, I just wanted to leave it open for tourism board members to make any final comments. All right, so we will now go to the public.
Sorry, Calvin, did you already discuss the extra planters?
The extra planters? The allocation of the 2,000?
Yeah.
No, we didn't. So essentially, we wanted to take a vote on a resolution to set aside funding for the purchase of barriers, provided we have a wait list for businesses that are interested in obtaining a barrier. Wanted to get ahead of this and set aside funding for those who would be interested. And so to move things along and keep the momentum, ideally, if we could take a vote on that tonight, I think we'd be in better shape. So essentially, the vote would be to put together a resolution to allocate $2,000 toward funding barriers for businesses that have been waitlisted. That is what you were speaking to, right, Cece?
Yeah, Calvin.
Yeah, and
if
yes, go ahead, Kate. Sorry.
No, it's fine. If I could just chime in, I know there, like I said, mixed reviews about the aesthetics of the barriers themselves, but we've had an overwhelming number of folks who didn't make the cutoff for the first pass want to participate, and I would like to be able to accommodate any additional businesses who would like to be able to use their spaces, some restaurants included. And so I think if we can approve this funding, that would allow the DPW to at least investigate whether or not it's possible to get the additional resources that are necessary to allow businesses to move into the streets this season.
Ivy and
yeah, I have a question.
Mark?
Is it my turn?
Yes.
Okay. Again, going back to what I've just spent the past week doing is trying to reconcile our budget. I'm just wondering, like, before we start spending money on little bits here and there, does it make sense for us to sit down and look at the big picture and try to determine how we allocate our money moving forward?
I mean, I don't think those or whatever. I don't think so. I think this is like the Warren Street seasonal usage is already in effect. Additional businesses want to participate. I personally feel that we should be providing equal resources to all of the businesses that want to participate. Ultimately, that benefits the city in terms of sales tax revenue in most cases, I would assume. So I don't think so, but I'm, you know, obviously just one.
And it's only $2,000.
Yep, that too. Tamar, did you want to chime in as well?
It's a question. Is there, Gary, maybe you know this, is there an acceptable stopgap measure that is acceptable to the police and to DPW if in the absence of enough barriers? Does DPW have anything that they feel comfortable using?
No.
Here, I'll take it, unless you want to.
No, I don't know. And that might also open up a whole can of worms.
Yeah.
In terms of, there's going to be people who do not like those blocks no matter what. I don't know how many of you know the artist Donald Judd.
but I'm going to refer to those blocks as Donald Judd-esque blocks every time I have a chance. Maybe it'll create some acceptance. He was very much a minimalist artist, and anyway. And there's some connection to that family in this town as well. So, you know, if you could come up with, you know, the budget to, you know, come up with a little bit more, and the DWP could, you know, find their way of delivering them. I'm with Kate on that, you know. Kate set the tone for me today when she said, I'm all about saying yes to the businesses. And that's what we should try to do, but within reason.
Yeah, so
I thought that the $2,000, sorry, Kate. I thought the $2,000 was for planters, but it's for cement blocks and planters, or which one? Because we gave some planters to restaurants, correct, also?
I mean, again, so I will say there's just been, like, an increased number since the businesses have seen that the cement barriers went on the streets starting at, like, 6 a.m. this morning or 7 a.m. this morning. Interest in participation. So I really have to go, like, I have to work with Gary to go back through all of the sort of logistical pieces and figure out, like, what planters are needed, what barriers are needed, like, who wants what. It's definitely a huge logistical undertaking. My goal in sort of presenting this resolution is just to make sure that we have it approved by the Common Council tomorrow, if we all agree that that's the right thing to do, so that we don't have to wait another month in order to, like, businesses who are on the wait list get the resources that they need to move into their parking spaces.
I would say, Kate, thank you for that. I would say in condition with what you're saying about getting the businesses help, wouldn't it be smarter to have a kit versus asking them what they want? That way it's cookie cut instead of it being catered to. If you said a kit of street stuff is two cement blocks and two planters, then at least you know that whoever applied, that's what they're going to get. And then you can actually see the budget through in terms of how many people could actually get something versus one person wanting three and another person wanting four. Because it could get crazy, couldn't it? I mean, most stores are pretty much the same size, unless you're talking about a corner store like La Mission, which I think should get three blocks because they're at the corner and they have the train. But still, I'm just throwing it out there.
Sorry, Cece. I just have to, like, cut you off because, yes, of course, I went through and orchestrated the exact number of blocks that was necessary for each and every setup in a very complete way. So what I'm talking about is additional businesses have come to the table today. So what that requires is we have to see, like, who's adjacent to them. We have to negotiate diplomatically whether or not the business that shares the front of their business is willing to allow that business to use that. Like, we're sort of, all I need to know is, you know, how are we done going through that process? Are we done supporting the businesses, or are we willing to, you know, allocate additional funding, see what happens? And obviously I'm happy, Gary is happy to present a plan back to the tourism board for exactly how that additional funding will be spent moving forward. But in order to get businesses what they need to move into their spaces before the 4th of July, we need to kind of allocate the funding now.
All right. So that said, are we ready to take a vote? Board members?
I have one more question. Just is that I understood Cece's question to be, is this going to be spent on concrete barriers or on planters? And
right.
You, right? And then Kate, you kind of said, I don't know. It depends. And I guess I'm just wondering, if we know which of those is less expensive, Can we just, like, is there a way to answer that question? If barriers are a lot less expensive, can we know?
The barriers are so much less expensive. The barriers cost $45 a piece. They're so much less expensive. They are in short supply right now.
So
we'll have to deal with a supply and demand situation a little bit. And also, you know, we have been trying to keep, one planter per parking setup-ish in the mix so that it doesn't end up just looking like concrete barriers.
I think, to speak to Tamara's question, a wooden planter cannot replace a concrete barrier in terms of the safety precautions.
So it's right. These are the things I was trying to pull out.
Yeah.
No.
So even if we vote for it and everybody approves it and all the businesses come together, if there's not enough supply, they won't get them anyway.
That's correct. Yeah. I mean, I can't make concrete barriers myself, unfortunately.
Okay, move on, Colin.
All right. So I dare ask the question, are we ready to take a vote?
Yes.
Or do we need more time?
Just vote.
I feel ready.
Okay. All right.
I don't know if others feel ready. That was just, you know.
Yeah, that was just one. We need plenty more.
Just vote.
Yeah, I mean, I'm ready to vote too.
I guess my question is, are we voting on the concrete? We're voting on whatever's available, but we can't vote on something that won't be passed by DPW, correct? So this vote is for the concrete barriers?
I think this vote is for the funding to address the situation. So if we can get more barriers, we can. And if not, then I think we look at other alternatives. There might not be very many, but I think instead of saying that we're voting for something specific, I think we're just voting for the funding that would allow us to address the situation. Does that help in any way?
Yeah, I'm only asking because my son and my partner have been asked about building some of the planters. So I want to avoid voting if I know that it can. Maybe I should just abstain from voting, period, because I don't want to dirty the waters.
You definitely should not vote on this.
Okay, thank you. Can I room Tom?
Okay, so
right, so she's in the waiting room. I'm sorry, Kate. Were you gonna?
I think Jesus Calvin, Christ. You should just make a resolution, and we should vote on it. And either
vote on it. All right. So, all those in support of voting for the resolution to address concerns related to barriers / planters for Warren Street seasonal usage, please indicate by saying yes. Allocating $2,000 toward this initiative. Please indicate by saying yes.
Yes.
Aye.
Yes. 2, 3, 4. You're there. It passed.
Is that a unanimous decision? Any no's? Any nays?
Okay.
Okay, unanimously approved. All right, and I think we did good work here. I do think this will keep things moving along for sure.
Okay, so I believe, I'm sorry, any final comment from board members? All right, so we are at 6:02, we're a little beyond an hour. However, we do need to open up to the public for comment, and we have John Kane.
Hi, does anybody know the make and model of the car that was involved with that in an accident today with the barrier?
Wouldn't that be a question for HPD?
I mean, I would assume you guys were installing them today. If there was a problem in the first couple of hours, you should probably know about it. Did anyone ask about the make and model of the car that was involved in the accident with today?
I mean, just ask, what would the make and model, how would the make and model change the fact that the accident was wrong?
Well, the car moved the concrete barrier, so that's one thing. There might be a problem with the eye line of higher cars or of lower cars. It might be creating a particular hazard, and that's another.
So, John, do you actually have a question?
Okay, I guess my comment is you guys really should have come to this meeting prepared to know if there was an accident in the first couple of hours with one of the concrete barriers, some basic information about that accident. And if none of you were prepared, that's not a great sign.
My second we're not as prepared as people from Georgia.
Ms. Graham, are you running for the school board right now?
Yes, I am, John.
And you have not resigned from the tourism board?
I don't have to. There's not a conflict, John.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
There is, by the way.
No, there isn't. We've investigated that already today.
Ladies and gentlemen, our critic in exile.
Next, we have Ryan.
Man, she did not take that disrespectful tone with people.
And you should.
I just did.
All right, all right. So next for public comment, we have Ryan Wallace.
Thanks, Kevin. I just wanted to make a suggestion to the committee regarding signage for the municipal lots in the city. So I've been working with Jane Trombley, Michael Schmides, and Kamal on the parking survey that the tourism board is going to help co-underwrite. And in the first phases of running just a run-of-the-mill survey that we were doing, Jane and I hit over 35 people yesterday. The overwhelming number of legitimate first-time visitors to the city was well over 70% of the people that we encountered. So I just want to throw it out there that if parking during all of this is a major concern, is there a way to be able to fund just the signs to work with DPW that would point people toward the municipal lots, which could serve as overflow? Tom, I realize that that probably presents some challenge given that the county owns some of those buildings and lots, but I don't know if there's a way to work with them this summer. The other option, obviously, is for whomever controls social media for the tourism board to work in some stories and slides just about the municipal parking options as we move toward limited parking. That's a very cost-effective way to try to keep all parties happy, I think.
Genius. Thank you, Mr. Wallace. I agree.
Thank you, Ryan. Next, we have...
Excuse me. I'll follow up with you, Ryan, on that, and Jane, because I think we could, you know, there's certain supervisors who could approach the county for their lots.
Okay. Thank you, Tom.
Sure.
If I could just chime in, I was approached by a few business owners today who really felt like it would be, and I have no idea what's possible, but it would really be advantageous for them to have a lot where they could have pay an annual fee or a monthly fee so that they had designated spaces so that they didn't have to worry about, you know, leaving their cars in a parking meter when their businesses had.
There is a tax system, Kate. You pay it annually whenever you decide, and they prorate it based on whenever you show up to the county clerk's office. And you pay it and you put it in your car. It's been around for years.
Yeah, the meter. For lack of a better word, meter maid can scan those.
Yeah.
I think what Kate was looking for, though, is, I mean, and this is going back 20 years now, but when opening up restaurants on Warren Street, we were asked by the owners to park in specific lots that were at least a block or two from Warren to ensure that patrons had better access. I think that's probably along the lines of thinking, but You know, Kate, I can find out some additional information on those if we want to send that out via Alex to the business owners as well, because the tags will definitely help curb some of the ticket issues.
Yeah, I mean, if there's a solution in place with the city and it's just a communication issue, I think, you know, that would absolutely be a great first approach.
Might be something actually worth contacting Chief Moore on as well, because that might be a good way to bring the police and the business owners back together a little bit if they're able to offer them a system, obviously, that's in place to help them out. Or as Celia was pointing out, there might be an opportunity to register the vehicle so that the meter maid knows which ones are which to keep the job moving a little bit faster too.
Wow.
All right. Thank you, everyone. And so the last hand up is Citizen One.
Hi. Thank you for recognizing me, Mr. Chair. My name is Christopher Chan. I was actually just trying to inquire on the resolution that was passed last week, but apparently tabled. It was, I believe, resolution number one, May 10th, 2021. From what I understand, it passed with a 6-5 vote and then was tabled. I was wondering if the council was going to bring that back up today for a resolution.
Sorry, I think you might be, are you referring to the tourism board or the common council?
This is, let's see, resolution number one. It may be the, it was an RFP for a resolution to sign a lease agreement. I have it under the common council.
You're in the
documents.
Wrong meeting,
I apologize. That makes sense that it wasn't here.
No worries. There are so many city meetings, but so we totally understand that for sure. I think the most appropriate time for your question would be tomorrow night. Yeah, correct. At the Common Council.
Yes, tomorrow at 7.
Yeah.
Tomorrow at 7?
Yes.
Okay, well, thank you for letting me observe and letting me make comment. I appreciate it.
Sorry if we wasted some of your time.
That's all right. Me and my fiance were supposed to be getting married on that boat. and we are just trying to figure out why it's hanging in limbo here.
Well, tell us what's going on since you
sure.
Yeah.
So, as I said, my name's Chris. My fiance, her name's Adrian. We had to postpone our wedding last year, as so many people have. But we finally, now that things are opening up, and you know, we happen to have both lost quite a few of our family members, so we decided not to put it off any longer. We're having a micro wedding at St. Mary's Church in the Holy Trinity Parish, East Allen there, and then we are having a cruise with Maria and Hudson Cruises, and everything seemed to be working out great, and then I found out that there was some sort of mishap with getting the docks in the water, some sort of issue with competing companies, and then I actually read an article in the paper that said it had passed, but was tabled until I'm not sure when it's supposed to be picked up. I thought it was going to be tonight, so that's why I'm sitting here.
Can I ask you a quick question? When's your wedding date?
Our wedding date is June 5th, Saturday.
It'll be solved by then. Don't worry.
Okay. Thank you.
It is daytime.
That's very reassuring. Yeah, because they were concerned too that they have to get in the water and all this, but I'm not sure how much time they need, but. We're just kind of, everything's in limbo here, so I appreciate that you telling me that.
Sure.
Well, you made my day, and you've got a bunch of people, like, on your side. We're going to make sure that it happens.
Okay. Really appreciate that. Thank you so much for the time and for hearing me out.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you.
All right. Next, we have Jeremy.
So I'm going to be really quick because I know it's been a long meeting, and thank you everyone for all the work you're doing. I just wanted to announce that second Saturday Hudson Gallery Crawl has launched our website and our social media today, and already have had businesses sign up because of that. And we have a lot more updates that I would like to give the board sometime in the future, if I could get on an agenda whenever it's a good time for you. Thank you.
Thank you, Jeremy. I'll coordinate with you to ensure that you're on our agenda for, we meet, I believe, next Monday?
Every Monday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've put, Calvin, at Kate's suggestion, I've put into the calendar tentative meetings every Monday until, you know, roughly June or July. Because I know you guys just love meetings.
Right. Of course. Of course. It's that's in one.
And by the way, you know, it's worth pointing out, a car may have hit one of the concrete blocks today, but think of it this way. If we had had what we had last summer, it probably would have hit a person that could have been there. So, yes, you can laugh,
absolutely,
John, but that's pretty demented to laugh at something like that. But, okay.
That's the whole point of the burn.
The situation.
Okay.
That's not an accurate description of the situation, child.
Yeah, okay. Sure.
What?
I said sure. Right. Thank you.
So that, thank you, Tom.
Yep.
So that brings us to the end of our meeting. And so thank you, everyone, for joining us this evening. I hope you all enjoy your night.
Wait, motion, wait, Calvin, we have to vote on it. We have to, motion. I put a motion.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say motion to adjourn.
That's easy. I'll second it.
All right, all those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Any nays? All right, have a good evening, everyone.
Oh, sick boy.